This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is virus update and multifamily market research for beginners. But before we get started, I always like to touch base with you guys because, you know, I really like you guys. I've talked to a lot of folks out there, and I know you now on a personal basis, some of them one-on-one. And if I haven't, I'd love to talk to you. But I'll tell you, you know, it's important that we kind of touch base. And I think we need to encourage one another, especially in light of what's going on in this country right now with the coronavirus. It can be a little discouraging, and it also can generate, unfortunately, a lot of fear in people. It was funny this morning as I was, I always spend time, you know, quiet time in prayer and reading the word. And I came across a passage in 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And I'll tell you, you know, the fear can take over and it can get to be ugly and it can be really, really tough. I think that the thing that you know, people got to realize is we feel powerless right now, you know, in light of a lot of this stuff that's going on. We're just kind of at the dictates of whatever the government is telling us to do and what our doctors are saying and all these other things. But, you know, we aren't powerless, and we really need to realize that we can allow that fear to get in there. It's kind of like this creepy, crawly kind of thing that just is like a cancer. And I know there's not a lot of talk about it, but right now there is a higher incidence of you know, drug abuse and even suicide and things that are going on right now because of the fear that's being generated. And you just can't allow that to get to you. I just honestly believe that there is definitely a bigger purpose in our life than all these things that are happening around us here. So I wanted to talk to you just briefly. I always do a little virus update here because we're in the midst of it right now. I'm going to be 65 next month, and, you know, I don't have respiratory issues or asthma or lung issues, but I do know what it's like to be very ill. And the thing that I kind of think back on is some of the times when I've been really sick, and that probably the sickest I've ever been was in Haiti. I had both malaria and dengue fever at the same time. Yeah, it was the toughest thing I ever experienced in my life. And I was just on my back, and I was kind of just, all I could do is just kind of hold the blanket up to my chin and just lay there on my back because I was in such overwhelming pain that it was crazy. And luckily we lived next door to this really great guy named Ed Amos, who's since passed away, but he was our next door neighbor, and he happened to be a physician's assistant. And this guy was so great. He was also the one that actually detected my wife's cancer early on, when she got cancer there. He was over when I had malaria and dengue fever, and he had these shots that were just like painkillers, but they were so painful. I mean, they were supposed to take the pain away, and I just regretted the shots because they were so stinking painful. But I do remember that process and being on my back for like 7 to 10 days, and it sounds a lot like what people are experiencing, you know, as far as dengue fever. I happened to read this really, really informative article. I don't know if you remember a guest we had on our show called Paula Pant. She's a podcaster and a blogger and just a real sharp cookie. Also a real estate investor. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to put a link to this little blog that she just recently wrote. But she tested positive with coronavirus, and she explains what happened. And I have this is the first time I've really seen such a descriptive description of the whole process, from, you know, knowing that it's happening, getting prepared, being cautious, being careful, and then catching it anyway, and what she went through this really powerful description. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes if you guys haven't read it. I would read it to you, but it would pretty well take the whole time we have here together. But that, when I read that, it just brought me back to the memories of Haiti, and this sounds just overwhelming at times. Just in my own house, we're in lockdown here in Southern California. My wife is a caregiver. She works with a lot of elderly people and those that require special attention and help. And one of her clients also tested positive. So my wife had to be put under quarantine as well. She is asymptomatic, though, and hasn't displayed any of the symptoms. And she pretty well is coming to the end of her 14-day period here. But boy, I'll tell you, you know, in my household, you know, we're wearing masks, we're doing all this stuff to do the right stuff. And not, again, out of fear, but because, again, we don't want to be the cause of somebody else catching this. Got a son who's sick, and also is talking to the doctor, and we're monitoring him. He has a lot of the symptoms, but not all of the symptoms, and so we're trying to see, you know, what's going to happen there too. So, you know, we're in this process. My wife, I've tried to keep her away from cooking and doing a lot of the things that she would normally want to do, because if she, again, is caring, she may be still asymptomatic, but could also you know, be caring it for others. And so, you know, I've been trying to cook and clean and do all these things that she does so much better than I do. But, you know, the kids are getting their share of pizza and chili dogs and mac and cheese and one of our favorites, Haitian spaghetti with little hot dogs cut up in it and stuff. Anyway, I got kind of limited repertoire here in terms of what I can cook. But, you know, we're trying to make the best of it while we can, and trying to enjoy the time we are having together. This is like nothing I've ever experienced in my almost 65 years of life here. So anyway, and I don't say that to be negative. I'm saying that this could be something that could be really something that can also relate into positive ways too. You know, some of the things that are happening in the real estate front in that regard, strange thing happened to me. I was telling you, I'm selling off these smaller properties. And so I had this one single family home in Memphis, had an interested buyer, signed an agreement. We're ready to move forward on it. And then when the whole virus hit, they pulled out. And so I'm kind of going, well, okay, I'm going to put it up for sale right now. And, you know, it is technically still up for sale now, because I have a listing agent for it. But I decided, you know, to get a renter because I didn't know how long the sales process will happen. So this is a property I've had a lot of trouble with in terms of finding good renters and so forth. So I kind of just did it on my own outside of my property management, because I've been having trouble even reaching the property manager there. And so I went ahead and just did a typical little Facebook marketplace ad. Well, I was like, I didn't expect to get more than a few here and there. I got 100 inquiries the first day. 100 inquiries. I could not believe it. It just blew me away. And then the second day, almost the same. And I'm going, all these great qualified people. And I'm asking them, why are you moving? What's going on? You know, all this stuff. And they all had pretty legitimate reasons. We outgrew our house. My wife's pregnant. You know, all these, you know, good, end of my lease in a couple of weeks and or whatever. And I'm just blown away by the number of people that I got this response from. And I don't know, you know, I'm kind of trying to figure out what it is. And some people are telling me, well, it's the stimulus checks. People know they're going to be getting $1,200, $2,400, whatever they may be receiving, which is what they needed to kind of move into a place, or it's enough to kind of get the impetus behind moving. Maybe they have to, you know, pay a penalty or lose a deposit if they get out of a lease early or whatever it may be. But I am noticing this amazing response. And I don't know if other people are going to experience it. I don't know if it's just Memphis, but just something just to share with you guys. Just one other final word on Airbnb, where we did lose a lot of folks, still losing some, and there's nothing you can do about it because they can cancel out if they made the reservation prior to the March 14th. So I'm just lowballed my prices. I'm kind of the lower guy in town. And so I'm filling up those vacancies, not making a whopping profit here, but at least I'm not losing money. So those are some of the things that are happening on the real estate front related to the virus. So I zeroed in on this topic of multifamily market research for beginners. And I've kind of talked about this the last couple of weeks, that we really need to be monitoring our markets because there are going to be shifts and maybe some very significant shifts in markets. With that are going to come opportunities to buy at below market, to be able to buy in markets that are positioned for growth. So I talked a little bit about it before, but I wanted to zero in a little bit more on it. And for those that are looking mainly at multifamily, it's really knowing how to conduct proper market research. It's a skill that every real estate investor needs to master, whether you're doing single families or mobile homes or whatever it may be. In fact, this is really the only way to secure a profitable real estate investment, because the market is important. Market research is even more important when it comes to investing in multifamily real estate. After all, these income properties have several unique specific aspects to them that set them apart from other types of real estate investments. Moreover, finding the best multifamily markets is only possible if you know exactly what to look for. So what is the best way to conduct multifamily market research? Well, I've addressed this in a lot of areas, and you especially if you look under emerging markets, you can do a search on our site. I've mentioned this before, they had a little magnifying glass, click on it and just type in emerging markets, and you're going to get a lot of different programs, some featuring our friend Vinny Chopra, who is just really good at finding emerging markets. This is kind of a primer, and that's why I call it for beginners. It's just the key things that you need to look at, and you can delve into some of these other podcasts and some of the blog articles too, to get more in depth with what, you know, finding that market. But some of the key areas you should be looking at are here. The main goal of multifamily market research is to identify the ideal area to invest in. In fact, location is by far the most consequential factor when it comes to a property's viability as an investment. Here are some of the things that you need to focus in on. Number one, the population. The population of a city should be one of the first things that you look at. As a rule of thumb, you should look for a real estate market that has a population of at least 250,000. Now, I know some of you have properties in areas where there's only 50,000. Again, it's a matter of dynamics, and you have to look at all the various aspects. Sometimes that might make sense, but I'm saying a market that size of 250,000, you have enough of a pool to be able to draw, you know, a good steady flow of tenant prospects. The reasons why cities with high populations are usually the best places to invest: firstly, they have a decent pool of potential tenants that guarantees consistent rental income, and secondly, these cities are more likely to attract a diverse range of employers and businesses. And this is key, which is highly beneficial for real estate investors. The place that I usually go right off the bat is census.gov, where you can go in there and you can boom, you can just do a search for the fastest growing cities and you'll get a list of it. And it gets updated all the time. So you'll be able to track some of the growth. It's a great, great tool. Number two is the job market. The second thing you want to look at is when you're doing your multifamily market research is the job market. In fact, you will have to take a number of variables into consideration when assessing a city's employment. Not only should the unemployment rate be quite low, but the job should also be growing at a rate that is higher than the national average. And again, you can check that information out pretty easily just by doing a Google search of what's the national average for job growth. These indicators bode well for the real estate market as they signify constant demand for rental properties, and that's what you want, is this this good growing demand. Another variable that you should factor in when conducting multifamily market research is job diversity. It is highly advisable that you avoid cities that rely on one large employer or a single industry. As you would expect, investing in these markets is inherently risky, since the job market could take a big hit if the large employer closes. I mean, we saw this in Houston. Remember when the oil took a major downturn? I mean, just devastated that area. And since that happened, they have brought in high tech and all these different other types of businesses that have been able to kind of cushion themselves from the variations that will happen in the oil industry. So the best locations you opt for are cities that where there's a wide range of successful employment sectors and industries. To track job numbers, I would go to BLS. That's B as in boy, L as in Larry, S as in Sam, BLS.gov. Number three, price to rent ratio. Now, actually, last Friday, we did a whole show on price to rent ratio. And it's just a term that's basically it's useful for both investors and renters. In simple words, this metric calculates the ratio between the average property price in a given housing market and the average annual rental rate there. Now, from a common person's point of view, this measure compares whether renting a property or buying a home costs more, relatively speaking. Thus, the ratio helps individuals make an informed decision on the old dilemma of rent versus buy. For this, I think I mentioned also last week too, MashVisor.com has some great analysis tools there to help you determine the price to rent ratio. Number four, the median household income in a given city is a good indicator of the strength of its rental market. Since rent is often the most significant expense for the majority of people, it is crucial that you invest in an area with a moderate to high income demographic. Taking median income into consideration when you are carrying out your real estate market analysis will allow you to weed out the low income areas that are not suited for multifamily investing for beginners. Census.gov is a good source to go to for median income information. Number five, safety. Now, safety is often a neglected aspect of multifamily market research. This is a grave oversight, since the level of safety in an area is directly correlated with its suitability for real estate investing. Now, I've seen this firsthand in Indianapolis. In areas of higher crime, you do have a difficulty attracting sort of your prime renters. Low crime areas in the city go hand in hand with positive experiences with tenants as well as reliable rental income and a much easier life for the landlord. Areas that are riddled with crime tend to attract a disproportionate number of delinquent renters, and investors who take the risk of investing in such housing markets are bound to deal with a myriad of property management issues. Believe me, I've experienced them. So whether you are doing a traditional or Airbnb market research, be sure to check out local crime rates. Just one of the many sources. And I've done a whole thing. If you do a search again on our website of crime, just type in the word crime, you can get some of the other podcasts and blogs we've done on this before. But neighborhoodscout.com is a good source, just to, if you've got an area you really want to look at in a smaller area specifically, it's a great tool for you. Number six, final one here too, neighborhood analysis. Now, after picking a city that, and you know, I'd recommend, you know, getting in sort of the top cities and you start to narrow down. And I've talked about this process before, but, you know, you may end up with your sort of your top five, top three cities. And the next step is really to explore the different neighborhoods that you could potentially invest in. You know, where are the opportunities? And a lot of times too, you're going to look for things like schools, you know, where are the good school ratings, hospitals, public transportation, proximity to major freeways. There's little clues there too. So if you're looking in an area and you see a place that has a Whole Foods, for example, or a Panera Bread, that's going to be an upper level of tenant than you might have in an area that may have a McDonald's or some other, you know, quick fast food type of place. So you kind of look at, you know, Starbucks also. These are companies that really do their research in terms of finding the areas of most opportunity. So you can also track those things, even just on Google Maps. You can go in there and you can find out where some of the top areas are in terms of maybe slightly upscale types of services. You can also take your neighborhood analysis a step further by incorporating a multifamily analytics into your multifamily market research. Again, you know, MashVisor, they have these heat maps that they do, which are really good at determining certain characteristics that you're looking for in a certain neighborhood. Now, of course, there's going to be, you know, mistakes and pitfalls while you're conducting your research. There are many pitfalls that you should avoid while investing in the housing market, in any key housing market. This is especially the case when dealing with some of the specific aspects of multifamily investing. Here's just a few things that you should look at before you decide to tackle a particular market research effort. First one would be not taking the time to understand local rental laws and how they could affect your multifamily investment. And I would take that a step further, say not only that, but let's take a look at the state and how the state is regarding landlord-tenant laws. That can make or break a landlord, believe me. I'm seeing it right now as with the coronavirus happening, that you have those areas where, you know, the eviction standards, everybody's saying, hey, we got to allow for folks, you know, that are going to have a difficult time because of the large unemployment that's happening and so forth. And then you have places like California that go even beyond that, where they're saying, even in some areas, that you have to accept Section 8 tenants. You have to be, you know, to wait, you know, anywhere 6 months or longer or whatever before you can evict. I mean, there's some real tough stuff there. So you got to know your state as well as your local landlord rental laws and so forth. Also, relying solely on multifamily property data and neglecting to take other macro trends into consideration. So yeah, you can look at all the numbers and they look great. I mean, how many of us have done this? We've done the analysis, we've got the spreadsheets, everything looks great, but we overlooked this. And those things can range. You know, you can have an area that has a just even a regional economic downturn. And it could be within one city, you know, and so you've got to look at those things very carefully. I mean, one example I can use is this house I was just talking about that I got just a ton of responses on. Bought it in a neighborhood that was mostly had homeowners, and there were also rentals in there, but the majority of it was actual homeowners. And what happened is there's just this big surge of sales that went on since I bought that property to convert almost the entire neighborhood into rentals. And just the, you know, the property values go down, a lot of other factors happen in that process. But I had no way to track that. That's something, how do you find that information? Well, there are ways that you can find that information. That's where you get into the macro a little bit deeper. And then finally, you know, not looking at similar rental properties in order to get an idea of how much you would charge for rent. Yeah, we use things like Rentometer, which is great. And there's a link to that on our website that if you've never used it before, a great tool to find out what local area rents are. But you really need to, you know, dig in there and look at similar properties across the street, next door, close by, so that you can make a more valid comparison. You know, similar square footage and so forth, all the same factors. So those are just a few of the things you want to be careful of. But again, I would recommend checking out some of our other podcasts and articles on our website at olddogsreinetwork.com to get an idea of merging markets and doing market research. In conclusion, market research can make or break your real estate investment. This is why you need to approach it with a clear set of parameters and objectives. In any event, applying the tips outlined here should help you conduct multifamily research better and help you get started in real estate investing if you're just starting out. But these are the key areas. There's a lot more areas you can dig into to find out information you need. I also recommend people, if you narrow down to your three key markets, you want to try to get any kind of regular information that's coming out of there, get tied into their chamber of commerce. If they have a business journal, local business journal, you want to start receiving that information or subscribing and really learn what's happening, because you can see in some of these other documents, hey, Amazon's coming to town in another 2 years, and they're going to provide X number of jobs or whatever the situation may be, and you want to be able to track those things and get a good idea of what's ahead and what's promising. Well, that's it for today, guys. Please note, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes, and I've got some links, including that article I mentioned from Paula Pant. Just look for the episode entitled Virus Update and Multifamily Market Research for Beginners. So until next time, remember, keep your social distance, wash your hands, be safe, be healthy, be careful. And remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.